Welcome to Westport Road Baptist Church. We're delighted that you've joined us for today's message. Westport Road Baptist Church is located at the corner of Hurstbourne Lane and Westport Road in Louisville, Kentucky. If you have a Bible, please have it handy and prepare your hearts and minds as we enter God's Word.
Such a treat this evening. That was every praises to our God. We're going to sing it for you for a minute, but before we do, I want to read to you from Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals and with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Are we ready to praise the Lord this evening? Earlier, I told them it's all right to cheer for your favorite team, but we're here to do a little bit more than just cheer. We're here to celebrate the living God. We're here to give Him every praise, because every praise belongs to Him. Amen. If you know it, come on and help us sing it. Clap your hands, stand on your feet. We're just going to have a good time and worship the Lord this evening. Amen. Come on, choir.
Isn't it wonderful to be here tonight?
Amen.
All together, all of God's children. What a time. What a time. We like to pray right now. We know why we have come together. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we just worship you. Father, we worship you in spirit and in truth. Father God, we thank you for being the sovereign Lord. We thank you, Lord, because, Father God, you don't consider what we've done or who we are. You just love us because that's who you are. You're an amazing Lord. Father God, we just want to praise you tonight, Lord. We just want to thank you. Father God, we know what's going on in the city. We know what's going on in the country. Lord, you know everything. You knew it before we knew it. Lord, we know you to be a merciful and a kind Lord. Father God, we know what your word says. How you said if your people, being called by your name, will humble themselves and pray, seek your face and turn from our sins, Lord, then you will hear us and heal the land. Father God, many of us have been praying, Lord. This land, Father God, still needs to be healed. And Father God, I've often wondered why these things are happening. And Father, maybe it's because of us and what we haven't done. Because, Lord, you called us to love you with all of our hearts, mind, and soul. And you called us to love each other, Father God. Maybe, Lord, that's what we're missing. That we haven't loved one another. If you called us to love, Father God. We see each other, Father God, all the time. And we judge, Lord, when we shouldn't judge. We condemn, Lord, when we shouldn't condemn. But, Father God, you called us to love. Because, Lord, you said love covers multitude of sins, Father God. So, Father God, if anything, Lord, tonight, we ask, Lord, that you open our hearts more, to love more, to see each other, Lord, as you see us, to not judge, but to embrace each other, Lord, to help meet one another's needs, Father God. So, Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, for our city. We pray, Lord, for our nation. Too many lives, Lord, have been cut short for no reason. The violence has gone wild. The enemy is out to destroy us, Lord. But, Father God, you said you've already won the victory. We know that, Lord, because Jesus did it on the cross. He went there for us, Lord. And you have called us to do your will upon this earth, Lord. So, Father God, help us and guide us and teach us more, Lord, so that we will have the courage and the strength to go out and do what you've called us to do, to love our brothers and sisters, to embrace them, to help them, Lord, in their time of need. So, Father God, we pray for this city. We pray for peace. That you will be Jehovah Shalom everywhere, Lord, for your peace and your healing, Lord, your healing, that you will be Jehovah Rapha. Jesus, we need you so much. Oh, Father God, we need you more now than we've ever needed you before. We need you and we need each other. Lord, let us stand together. Let us appreciate one another. And above all, let us love. Let us love, let us love, let us love. If you have loved us, Father God. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Whoa. Well, it's an interesting path on how we got here tonight. Now, every other year or so, Greencastle and Westport Road, we always get together and we have a time of fellowship, and we always have a great time with one another. But things have changed a little bit this year. It's been a tough year in the city of Louisville. You look back in 2016, we had more murders and shootings than any time in the history of this city. And we are ahead of the pace of last year this year. We have a drug problem that has gone across this city, and the new heroin epidemic with the laced with fentanyl. And it's not a problem that's in one part of the city or another part of the city. Just a few feet right out here about 2 weeks ago, a man died of a heroin overdose. The person next to him was taken to the hospital, and his young elementary school daughter went running down the road. That's right here, right around us, everywhere. And you look around at what's happening in the city of Louisville. You look at what's happening in other places like Cincinnati and in our country. And we come together for a more important reason tonight than just fellowship. Brother Steve Niffley, the worship pastor at Greencastle, also is worship pastor at a church, Immaculate Heart of Mary. And their priest, Father John Judy, is with us tonight and is going to be speaking. But Immaculate Heart of Mary is with us tonight. Christ the King is with us tonight. And we have several other ministers and pastors. We are so glad that you are here. And we are here to pray for our city. We are here to pull together. And there's four quick things I want to tell you why I think we're here tonight. Number one, I think we're here to wake the church up. Because the problem we have... the problem we have is not limited to geography, and it's not limited to skin color, and it's nothing that the government can solve. The problem we have is a sin problem. And if the churches don't do something, it's not going to get done. So we need to say it's time to stop being lukewarm and to step out. So we're here for renewal tonight. We're also here for unity tonight. To realize that it's not denomination or it's not your church, that it's not geography, it's not your skin color, it's not your economics. We are one in Christ. The color that matters tonight is red, and it's the blood of Jesus. And that is what pulls us together as one. So we're here for unity tonight. Third, we're here for boldness. We're here for boldness. The church is so seldom bold any longer. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were told, if you preach any more in his name, we're going to kill you. And they went back to the church, and when they got together, they prayed. And guess what they prayed about? They didn't pray, Lord, keep us safe. They prayed, Lord, give us boldness to go against Satan. And when they did, the very room they were in began to shake with the Spirit. We're here for boldness. Let us be bold in stepping out tonight. And finally, we're here to seek God's power in what we are doing. You know, we're told in the scripture that one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we need to step out into a city that is hurting and say, we have good news. And let that good news be known. So renewal, unity, boldness, power, that is why we are here today. Everybody sitting in this room is your brother and sister in Christ. You're going to spend eternity with them in heaven. You stand up, find somebody you don't know. You hug them. You let them know that you are glad that they are here with you tonight, because we are going to take this city back for Jesus Christ. Thank you.
return to your place. Let me invite you to come on back. Be seated. It's a map of the city of Louisville. It's a diverse community. We're a diverse church. It's beautiful. God loves this city. He wants to heal. He wants to bring hope. He wants to give life. As we come into the song, I'm going to feature the acoustic guitar, and Hector Torres is our brother. He's going to be playing, and Hector and his wife, Denise, and his brother, his mother-in-law, Marilyn, Brother Michael, have come to us just in the last few years from Havana, Cuba. We love them. They love the Lord. They've come and invested in our church. They love Jesus. They love our church. They love the worship. Blessed to have them.
We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Right now. We need you, Lord. Our hands, bow our knees, and
tonight. You know, this is a cry for many in our city. I need you, Lord. Many who know Jesus, many who don't know Jesus, many who can't afford to pay their rent this month, those who are facing health bills that are beyond control, many in our city are crying out and they're saying, I need you, Lord, and I need you right now. And tonight as a church, gathered church, we offer that prayer up for our city. I need you right now. Our high school students from Westport Road, we went to Toronto a few years ago, and we met the family of an individual who came to the Kentucky Derby. And here while visiting our city, he was gunned down by violence as he was robbed walking down the street. And it was a national story in Toronto about gun violence as they didn't understand it. And we were in the town of London, Ontario, a town of 200,000 people, and we were talking with the church there. And they told us, they said, yes, gun violence is getting worse in our city of 200,000 people. They said, we've had two people shot in 6 months. And I almost fell over. I said, that's a good week in our city. But that's not okay. I'm not okay living in a city here when gun violence is just a matter of fact. If it takes four or five people to get shot in one time for it to catch our attention. That's not okay. That's not God's desire. That is not God's plan for our city. But it's time we said enough is enough. Because, Lord, we need you right now. When the church cries out and says, God, we can't do this on our own. We can't do it on our own power or in our own strength. We look to you for the power of your spirit. That is a prayer that God always, always answered. And tonight, as the church, we gather not just with our worship, not just with our witness. We gather not just with our word, but we also gather with our tithes and our offering. We have the chance tonight to support the St. Vincent de Paul Fund. This is a ministry here in our town that has four thrift stores, and it takes 1,400 volunteers each year. They feed over 15,000 free hot meals every month in our city, as well as have 300 people, including 60 children, that live in their supportive housing. And so this is a ministry that is right at the center of what God is doing in our city. And so tonight, as we receive our offering, this is where our funds will go directly to help support our great need in our city. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, tonight we need you, and we need you right now. God, we pray over our city. We pray for those who are hungry in our city. We pray for those who are homeless in our city. We pray for the broken, God, that drugs have just left them destitute and on the side of the road. But we remember, Jesus, that when you came walking down the road, when you came walking down the road and we cried out, Lord, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You answered that man on the side of the road of Jericho. And so tonight, God, we ask that you would stop by our service. We ask that you would stop by our city. And we ask that you would work a miracle of peace. That you would work a miracle of your prosperity, God. That you would raise up the destitute and the hurting, the broken, and those that are stuck in sin. So come, Lord, because we need you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will be right there. How many people know that Jesus will be right there?
Yeah.
everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. We thank God this afternoon. Father John Judah is going to bring our homily, our message this evening. And I've been playing at Macklehanna Mary. Next month it'll be about 4 years. And grace and mercy is with me every Sunday. But I am glad for the opportunity to serve and let God use me the way he wants me to be used. But when I took the assignment to go there, one of the things that I had to do was to study the Catholic service. It's different from the Baptist service. A lot of things are different. My daughter Kennedy, who's singing this evening, she said, "Daddy, they don't worship like they did at my Catholic school at Holy Spirit. It's different. It's like our church." So we kiddingly have a term that Macklin Heart is Baptist. It's part Baptist, part Catholic. But the main thing is that we serve the same God, and the same blood covers us all. So every Sunday I get to hear the man of God, Father John Judy, and he blesses the church every time that he comes and he speaks. He has a testimony within his own life, and God has blessed him to be the man that God had chosen to be, because he said himself, "This isn't what I really wanted to do, but God called him." So Father Judy, if you would come on up and bless us at this time.
Let the church say amen.
Amen,
amen again.
Amen.
Amen. After all of this singing and praising and shouting, I know y'all ready to hear something from the Lord. And I'm ready to preach something from the Lord. Amen. Let us turn in our scriptures to Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. Jesus told them a parable on the necessity of praying always and not losing heart. Once there was a judge in a certain city who respected neither God nor man. A widow in that city kept coming to him saying, "Give me my rights against my opponent." For a time he refused, but finally he thought, "I care little for God or man, but this widow is wearing me out. I'm going to settle in her favor, and she will end by doing me violence." The Lord said, "Listen to what the corrupt judge has to say. Will not God then do justice to his chosen who call out to him day and night? Will he delay long over them, do you suppose? I tell you, he will give them swift justice. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith on the earth?" May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy gospel. Turn to the person next to you and just say these three words: "If my people." Turn around to somebody else and tell them that too. "If my people." Church, I believe that all of you will agree with me today when I say that it is a good thing to pray. With so many things happening in our lives, in our world, It is a good thing to know how to pray and to know the power of prayer. When we face something that is bigger than what we can handle, it is good to know that there is someone we can turn to, someone we can call on, someone we can trust in who knows already what is going on and what to do about it. Statistics show that most folk do some kind of praying in their lives. Regardless of whether or not they come to church or choose to participate in whatever form of prayer and worship they find us in, don't think that most folk don't know how to pray. If folk had some kind of church upbringing earlier in their lives, then rest assured that the one thing they really don't forget is how to pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14 gives us this message from God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear, I will forgive, and I will heal their land. Just think about the things that happen in your own life which cause you to turn to God in prayer. Well, don't think that folk who don't come to church get exempted from the same things happening in their lives. When anybody finds himself or herself in some kind of a mess that's bigger than what they can handle, and they know they can't find their way out, and they have a hard time explaining how they got there in the first place, I guarantee you they're going to look for somebody to help them do what they cannot do for themselves. Just let some unexpected, terrible thing happen to you. The first thing out of your mouth is going to be, "Lord, have mercy." Maybe in your mind you weren't thinking about praying to God, but in your heart you needed to cry out to somebody for help. I do believe that one reason we have so many instances of senseless violence in our city is because there are not enough of us who know how to truly pray. You see, church, it worries me to see so many children whose parents don't bother to bring them to church and to raise them up in church. If our children are not taught how to pray to God early on in their lives, what recourse will they have? Who will they know to turn to? Who will they know to place their trust in later on in life? By our own prayer life and example, we need to reach as many children as we can and let them know there is someone who can do for them what nobody else can do. There is someone who knows them better than they know themselves, who will do more for them than they can do for themselves, who will bring them through it all and raise them up to higher heights. I'm talking about God, who not only reveals to them the gift and value of their lives, but the only one who can bring them into eternal life. If more people would strive to be God's people, if more people would humble themselves, if more people would seek God's face, if more people would turn to the Lord and pray, He will heal their hearts and our land. In our sacred scriptures, we know that Jesus had a great deal to say about prayer. His disciples watched him and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Of all the things the disciples could have asked for, they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. They didn't ask him to teach them how to do miracles, or how to tell parables, or how to love the forgotten people, but to teach them how to pray. You see, they saw what was different about Jesus when he went to the Father in prayer, and they saw how different he was when he came back from the Father after he prayed. They knew that he carried a whole lot of concerns within himself for the people, for his disciples, for his own life and ministry. But once his praying was over, they saw less concern and more contentment. They saw less distress and more determination. They saw in him fewer problems to worry about and more promises to spread around. They had come to see that the power and effect of Jesus' ministry was rooted in his relationship with the Father. This was the one thing they desired more than anything else. And when Jesus began to speak of his impending suffering and dying, they knew how much more important it was for them to know the Father as Jesus knows the Father. This is why Jesus gave today's parable to his disciples, telling them to not only pray, but never give up on your prayer. As the story goes, a certain town had a judge who did not fear God, nor did he care about the situation of others. In this same town was a widow who kept coming to the judge with her plea, begging him to grant her justice against her adversary. The judge in this parable was not interested in any justice for this poor widow as long as he got his own just due at the end of the day. Not only did he not have any fear of God, but he didn't really care about what anybody else thought of him. For some time, this judge refused to hear this woman's case. Yet because of her persistence with her plea, the judge finally gives in just to get her away from him. Well, church, there are three important things that this parable teaches to the disciples of Jesus' day and to us today. The first thing is the fact that there really should be nothing for us to worry about when we know we can pray about it instead. This widow woman did not sit at home wringing her hands and worrying about her situation. She got up, knowing the odds against her, and went to the judge, the only person that could help her anyway. She knew already his reputation, but she decided that in her case, he was going to hear her repetition anyway. She knew that her actions were risky business because the judge could have been one more person to do one more thing to her that was wrong. On the other hand, when you find your back up against the wall and your options have run out and there's no one else by your side, there is no problem to enduring one more wrong if there's a chance you just might get what is right. In other words, this widow woman didn't give up because of all the bad things that could happen, but she decided to look up for the one good thing that might happen. Let me tell you a few things about some of the widow women I know. These widow women I know have made a choice to not become persistent worriers, but to be instead prayer warriors. With all that they have been through already, there is not a whole lot more that they are willing to let life's ups and downs take them through. When something comes up, they take it right to prayer and wait until it calms down. When something brings them down, they take it right to prayer and let the Lord lift them up. When their children don't bother to stay in touch and the grandchildren don't know how to stay out of trouble, the widow women I know have learned that you can't do much with something you have no control over. So they don't let their children and their grandchildren turn their lives inside out. What they do instead is put the children and the grandchildren in prayer, place them on the altar, and leave them there. Let the Lord watch over them and keep them, and then send up one more praise that they can spend one more day enjoying one more blessing, because God has been good one more time to one more widow woman in this life. I have often told people, if you're going to pray, then don't worry. And if you're going to worry, then don't pray. You see, too much worrying will override the purpose of your prayer, but enough praying will overcome the reasons for your worry. If God's people would humble themselves and pray, the Lord will save our children and keep them safe and place peace in their hearts and heal our land. Amen, church? The second important lesson is to know how to be persistent in our prayer. Now let me explain something about what happens in today's parable. You see, being persistent in prayer does not mean you have to badger God with your petitions. It doesn't mean nagging God or begging God or reminding God or pestering God as if God is half deaf and inattentive to your needs. That's what the widow woman in the parable had to do because of the kind of judge she was dealing with. That is not what we have to do when we know the kind of God who is dealing with us. When you know that God is right there waiting to hear from you, then there's no reason to ever give up, because you can always look up and see God. Like the widow in today's parable, she had been knocked down, but she refused to stay down. She knew that the judge was not on her side, but she got in his face anyway. She would not let anything hold her back, push her back, keep her back from what she needed from him. God the Father, on the other hand, doesn't treat us like that. He is always ready for us when we come to him. And because of that, he hears us the first time we bring our needs to him. What then is the persistence of the praying man and the praying woman? It's not that we need to be persistent in our pleading, but we need to be persistent in our trusting. We are sure that God does hear our prayers, so we wait on him to move in his own time, in his own way. That's persistence in our trust. We bring our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. No more thinking about it. No more looking back on it. No more questioning the outcome. No more doubting the answer. We just give it all to him and let him handle it. That's persistence in our trust. When we know how to bring our own people, our own leaders, our own community to the Lord in prayer and place all of them in God's hands, we don't have to give up because we know we can go on. That's persistence in our trust. We who are called by his name, let us humble ourselves, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways and pray so that God will move in our midst, so that God will heal our land. Finally, I'm saying finally, but I got a ways to go. Finally, we need to pray, because Jesus' whole reason for telling this parable is to let us know that we don't have to go through with God what we go through with others. This widow woman in the parable had a determination to get her just due, but she had no guarantee that it would happen for her. She had major needs to be met, but there was no assurance that she could get the judge's interest in her case, let alone his concern. She was at the end of her rope, reaching out for what was her only option to make it. With this certain judge in this certain town, this certain widow woman knew that she could reach for what was hers and still wind up empty-handed. As persistent as she intended to be, she still had to prepare herself for the worst. Well, church, you know, and I know, that with God, we don't have to prepare ourselves for the worst, because we know that God will give us only the best. When we go to God, we don't get just a measure of his justice, but we get an abundance of his mercy. The God we serve will not only respond to our concerns and attend to our needs, but he will let us know that he was taking care of it even when we thought we were taking care of it ourselves. He was on the job protecting us from hurt, harm, and danger even when we didn't know we were in danger. This God I'm talking about knows us better than we know ourselves, treats us better than we can treat ourselves, and forgives us even when we can't forgive ourselves. All you have to do is look back on where you were, who you were with, what you were doing, and see what he has brought you through. What you need to know is that he was right there with you way back then, looking at where you would be from when and then to here and now. This God we serve has never failed us yet. That's why we can never give up, because we can always look up and see God and know that God sees us and he will respond to our needs. And when we render our prayers and remain persistent in our trust, then it doesn't matter whether God answers those prayers quicker or slower, sooner or later, right now or after a while, on time, before time, after time, around time, about time, without time, because it's all in his time. Yes, church, let us hold on to our faith. Let us lift up our prayers. Let us turn our worrying into worship. Let us turn our petitions into praise. Let our dilemma be the door to our deliverance. Let our disappointment be the fuel for our determination. Let our anxieties be shouted out by our acclamations. Let us not wring our hands and pace the floor. Let us clap our hands and pat our feet. Church, no matter what the problem, no matter what the situation, no matter what the difficulty, no matter what the disappointment, no matter what the discouragement, we cannot be contented until we found the Lord. Let us pray our prayers and also be persistent in our trust. God will bring peace in the midst of peril. God will bring victory in the midst of all this violence. God will forgive whatever is our failure. God will bring healing where there is hurt. God will give us hope in the face of all these horrors. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
You've heard the importance of prayer. It's the solution. It's not something you tack on at the end. It's the most important thing. We're going to be going to a final song, and as we do, this is going to be your time to pray. As it's done, I'm asking, if you're a minister here tonight, a pastor, I don't care what church or denomination, would y'all come on down and just line up here at this altar. Come on down. And we're going to open this altar up. You come pray for our city. You pray for your family. You pray for the problems and troubles in your own life. If you need a minister to pray with, man, they're up here. They want to pray with you as well. But this is going to be your time. And if you're going to stand there, man, stand there and praise the Lord and let him know that our prayers are going to be mighty. And so we're going to stand together. We're going to sing. And as we do, you respond. You come. Anyone you'd like to pray with, just pray at the altar. But this is your time as we go to the Lord and we praise him now. Let's stand together.
Agree.
Keep praying and add some feet to those prayers, and we're going to see some amazing things. We've already seen some great things tonight. $1,735.63 was raised for St. Vincent de Paul. God bless you all very, very much. Hey, we would be remiss this evening if we didn't remember Reverend Pitts from Greencastle Baptist Church. He has been sick. He's getting so much better, and he's going to be in the pulpit, I think, even maybe next Sunday. And so that is good news, and we wish him well indeed. Well, this is just the beginning, and so you go out, you live a life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. Would you mind closing us with a prayer?
Father God, we thank you right now, God, for this blessed day, God, this wonderful evening, God, that you allow your sons and daughters to come together, Lord, in harmony, Father God, in truth and in spirit. And we pray, God, when we leave this place, God, we won't forget what we experienced, what we felt, what we envisioned, Father God, for our new beginning. We trust you, God. The words we spoke, they spoke through your man of God, Father God, Father John Judy. We pray, God, that it stays with us, God. Keep us accountable, Father God, to be your light and shine, oh God, in this dark time, oh God. May your peace, your comfort, your joy, your covenant, your love, and your hand follow us all the way home. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's lesson and that it spoke to you. If you have prayer needs or want more information about us, we invite you to stop by our website, mywrbc.org, and click on Contact. Please use the word podcast in the subject line. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Keyword, MyWRBC. At Westport Road Baptist Church, we love God and love people. Please join us for Sunday morning service at either 9:30 a.m. or 11 a.m. We also have Sunday school for all ages during both service times. Thanks again for listening, and join us next week for another message from God's Word.